She's a doctor.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dobek, and she's a dietitian.
Hey, I'm Hannah Schuyler, and together we are
the Doctor Dietitian Collab. Boy, I loved part one of our series here. The part one was mentally tough, mental toughness.
Yes. So if you haven't listened, go back and listen to that one. I mean, you do what you want, but
yeah, seriously. Or just dive right into this one. That one was just about some of the mental aspects, the emotional journey of bariatrics. And today we're talking about celebrating the journey.
Yes.
So we're flipping it from more melancholy to more exciting and like, all right, let's talk about some actual ways to celebrate the milestones that occur on this journey. So it is, of course, weight loss. We're going to talk about SMART goals and how to define, kind of like chunking it out. Don't just have some vague, I'm going to lose weight goal.
Right.
To the non-scale victories and some really interesting ways to celebrate them that, of course, have nothing to do with food. A lot of it's like, what are you going to do for your birthday? Well, we're going out to eat. I'm going to have a cake. I'm going to, you know, it's
food. Have a drink.
So what are we going to put in our bodies? But we are actually going to give at least 10 different ideas that you can do to, you know, make yourself feel celebrated.
Because we do deserve to be celebrated. And I think that's the, maybe this is something that people struggle with throughout this, is that maybe they haven't celebrated a lot of things throughout their life. And so now they're like, how do I do that? And especially if you kind of, for the most part, or you change the food aspect of it, you know, what does that look like? But I think a lot of times people don't celebrate the things in their lives outside, especially of weddings and babies and maybe graduations.
I know.
But outside of that, we don't tend to celebrate things as adults.
That's so true. As adults, what would you say was the best celebration, celebrating some kind of a milestone in your life?
Ooh. Well, I mean, my wedding was fun.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I mean, do you remember like my college graduation party was super cute and fun? It was very simple, but we had a lot of fun for that.
Yeah.
But it's not even, again, I always throw myself birthday parties too. So I did a really fun 30th birthday party in Chicago. I did all day bagel brunch. And I just had people, it was like an open house with all my friends at my house, and we just ate bagels. And
interesting.
So it's very food centric, but you know,
such is life.
My 30th birthday, I don't know. But yeah, again, I feel like outside of kind of the traditional milestone thing, there hasn't been one where, you know, it's like starting this business or something, or joining this business. Like that to me was an example of like somewhere we should have had like a party or something. Like we didn't, we opened and just hit the ground running.
I know.
There's no grand opening. Now I think with like the surgery center opening, that's a different story. And I think that's one of those milestones that it is. It's like, we may not always think about celebrating that kind of like professional achievement.
For sure. But that's going to be off the charts. Like I'm obsessed. And that vision is what keeps me going. I mean, I talk about that all the time. I just have this like feeling of that moment.
Yeah.
Then afterwards, it's sort of like a wedding or these big, huge life achievements where afterwards, like, okay, your college graduation, it's like you worked so hard, you took your finals, you prepared this party, and then it's almost like the come down afterwards too.
Oh, and that's definitely like a thing that is talked about with weddings specifically. Oh. It's like the post-wedding blues.
Ooh,
because you put in a year of work into planning this event, and then it's over in 12 hours, and then it's like, what's my personality now? And you know, I've put all this time and effort and now it's just done.
Now you're just a wife.
Yeah.
Get in there.
God.
That does sound so depressing. My God, what an identity. I'm a wife now.
To a man.
Oh my God.
Of all things.
Of all things. Well, let's talk about, again, like celebrating the big achievements.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not every day that you reclaimed your life and you're getting healthy, and that's super amazing. So we're going to start off with SMART goals, which I wanted to start the new year off with this, but we're not too far off, a couple of months later. And SMART goals are used in business, I would say, for the most part.
I use them. We use them a lot in nutrition as well. Yeah, very common.
All right. Well, awesome. Well, let's talk about the acronym SMART. S is specific. So let's break down every single one of these. And how do you, just from a dietitian standpoint, give weight loss goals, or do you?
We'll give them if people ask for them. Okay. Usually, you know, if I'm at a consult with someone or I'm doing a follow-up or something, at like usually the 8-week mark, people are like, so what is my weight loss goal?
Yes.
And so I will give people kind of an estimate, or I ask them, where do you think you'll be comfortable? So first of all, you're the one setting your goal. I'm never going to set someone's goal for them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I hear all sorts of things. I hear people saying, I want to be 120 pounds. And I hear people saying, I want to be 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And that's my goal. And anywhere, you know, whatever in between. And that's very personal to that person. But what I will do is I will use like a calculator. We've talked about like this MBSA QIP calculator.
Yes.
That kind of gives the average estimate out weight loss over up to a year. And so I'll reference that for some people and say, well, this is estimating you'd be around, you know, say 50 pounds at 6 months or whatever. And we can do that. But I think to me, outside of that, I do think it's working with the patient to set these intermediary kind of SMART goals. Because if I just tell you in the next year, you're going to lose 100 pounds. What are you doing up until then to feel any success? Because you haven't lost 100 pounds yet. You know?
Yes. I hope people really listen to this one because this is so important for your back to mental health and toughness, like to chunk it out. So let's say you decide together, you either look at the risk calculator, you do, and we're going to put that link in our stories as well. Or let's say that, you know, you just know where you feel comfortable, whatever. You come up with a goal of 100 pounds. Let's just crystal math here. Let's do it. And then you want to talk about like different, I always like on Instagram when people will have like the lock symbol and then and they'll have it all unlocked. And then once they've achieved that, they'll like go onto their like bio.
Oh yeah.
And they'll change it from unlocked to locked, like 25 pounds lost, 50 pounds lost. So I'm like, okay, that person is like, and it must feel like it's so little, but but just how major it is to go into your Instagram bio and be like, oh, I'm going to change my profile.
Yeah.
I do that.
You've unlocked an achievement.
Yes. Yeah. I kind of like that. Or, I guess it should go from locked to unlocked. You've unlocked an achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking like done would be locked.
I was thinking both ways works. Either way, pick one.
Lock or unlock it and go into your Instagram. And I like whenever I do every like 100 surgeries I do, I'll go into like my Instagram profile and I'll be like, you know, I've done 4,600 surgeries.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know. It just feels good to like check the box.
It's like making a to-do list almost when you get to cross that off.
Yes. Cool.
So satisfying.
So, okay. What would be, you know, do you think like 25 pound increments, 10 pound increments?
No, I 25, I think is too much. I would say like 5 to 10 pounds at a time to see. Because that's something that's realistically going to happen maybe, you know, for somebody who's had surgery, could be within 2 to 4 weeks very easily. And so you can get through 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, if we start looking at, okay, so yes, you want to lose 100 pounds in a year. Okay, that roughly equates out to 25 pounds every 3 months. We know that that's not how that's going to play out.
No.
But, you know, that's still 3 months to wait. Like that's a long time for people to think about waiting for a result.
Yeah, you know? That is. And that is, sometimes it's hard to keep showing up when it's like, it's like I'm at the bottom of this mountain, you know, that whole feeling of like,
oh, yeah,
I can't do this.
Right.
So chunk
the
it
smaller
out.
Ladder rungs. Like,
yes,
you're climbing the ladder. You're just taking it. It doesn't matter if you're taking one giant leap or if you're taking these tiny little steps.
Yeah. I mean, even like with to-do lists on like a random day, like I might put something so like obviously achievable, like on the list. Brush my teeth. Done.
I've done that before for sure.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of motivation that you need to say I've achieved something.
Exactly. Now some of our patients, it's not just about weight. And there's also of course, like not just like 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 pound increments. But it's also, you know, some people will say like, I want to get to Toosville or Wonderland, you know, like a very specific number on the scale, like these landmarks on your way down to the goal. So, so there's a number and then there's other very specific things. So one of my dear patients and friends, she has a really audacious goal, a very specific goal. mm-hmm. of running a marathon or a half marathon in all 50 states.
Yes.
I mean, my God. I mean, yeah. that's unbelievable.
Yes. I want to run one in zero states.
Yeah, that ain't my thing goal. Either. That's not my thing either. So if you look at that, like, gosh, look at my goal versus that goal.
Yeah.
My goals are lame. Like, oh no, like, that's not my goal either. I look at it with admiration as my thumb scrolls through Instagram. Yeah. And I'm like, there's another medal.
Good
look
for
at
you.
There's mountains behind her. There's snow behind her. There's
what a great way to travel and see the country.
Yeah, Disney behind her. So it's creative. I think, boy, I think that gives you, like, passion to, you know, want to keep showing up every day to do that. And her husband even made her this, like, home gym. And she has this thing on the wall where she hangs all of her medals. Mm-hmm. And I look at it and I'm like, man, that looks cool. That looks super, cool. super cool.
Yes.
So totally off the subject, but I just thought about something that I'm making and that I'm going to be putting out there. I think I showed you it before, but there's this incredible artist. His name is Derek Gores. Did I show you it?
I think you did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he does, like, these collages.
Yes.
Where
he's an Orlando artist, right?
He's not in Orlando. He's in Florida.
Okay.
But he comes to Orlando. He has done things for many famous organizations. Like, if you go to the Orlando Magic and or you just go to the Kia Stadium, that was Amway, now Kia. If you go there, you'll see, like, these incredible, like, Orlando Magic pictures on the wall that it's like a collage that makes a picture.
Okay.
And he actually does it. It's not, like, computer generated. It's uh-huh. like, he does all this stuff. And then he did one for Dr. Porras, Stephanie Porras, the plastic surgeon. He did, like, this, like, big one with, like, magazine things on her whole wall.
Okay.
And I thought it was really, really cool. And then he did, like, the cover of Playboy for, like, the organization's 50th
oh, wow.
anniversary. So, like, the letters of Playboy are all different. And then, like, I think it's Hugh's face that is, like, this compilation of all of his other magazine covers that make you.
Okay.
And it's, like, so incredibly awesome.
Yeah.
And, like, obsessed with it. And in my new house, if you listen to the last one, I went on and on. But one of these days, I'm going to be in this house and I am commissioning this guy to make a 4-foot by 4-foot custom art piece for me.
Wow.
And it's like, yes, it's extremely expensive. And yes, it's over the top, but it's just like a goal of mine to, like, see my life's work.
Yeah.
On the wall.
Right.
And he gave me homework to do for it. And I'm like, talk about, like, I need to, like, get this on my to-do list. I'm a little bit overwhelmed. He's like, send me, I think it was something like 200 pictures of, that kind of, like, represent you,
oh, wow.
like your colors, like the sleeve, the bypass, me operating, me with my kids, like blonde hair, Barbie pink, yeah. like, I don't know, like life. The 200, yeah. like visual bites that together will make this, like, it's going to be spoiler. It's going to be the Body by Bariatrics butterfly shape. And then, like, half of the butterfly is going to be, like, my profile. Oh, okay. No, this thing's going to be, like, insanely, like,
wow, cool. I'm excited to see
it. I know. So anyway, so, I mean, that's one hell of a, like, specific, like,
goal
yeah, like, to have, absolutely. Like, this thing. And then, of course, I have to, like, earn money to pay for said thing and,
yeah.
you know, like, all that kind of stuff. So that is very, very specific. Do you have any specific goals, albeit big or small? I have one for you, actually, if you don't have one for yourself.
I don't, like, off the top of my head, I feel like just with the chaos of having a new baby, I haven't thought that far.
Well, that is what my goal is for you. My goal for you is that you get a solid, uninterrupted 6 hours of sleep.
That sounds amazing.
That's your first goal. That's your okay. first goal. But it's coming around the bend.
It is.
Elena is now almost 6 weeks old.
Yep.
And so you have, like, with a newborn, there's many milestones and goals that she will herself yes. do, like sit up, roll over, mm-hmm. start to crawl, all that stuff. But for you as a mom, you got your, she's gaining weight.
Like, yeah.
Check. Like.
Chunkers here.
There we go. And your sleep. That's, yeah. So you have to, like, kind of, like, train her
yeah.
to go these longer spans.
Yep.
So you're getting there.
I'm working on it.
So that would be my short-term goal.
Okay, perfect.
There's, like, short-term, long-term.
Yes.
You know, current state, future yes. state, all this. So I think, you know, whether it be, like, a physical one specifically for our bariatric patients or, you know, just anybody.
Anybody, yeah.
Other people want to maybe just, like, walk a mile.
Mm-hmm.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
Or whatever the distance. I mean, distance, we're measuring it because it is specific.
Yes. But... Well, and that's, the exercise is always a good one that I use for, like with setting SMART goals. I think exercise really plays well into that, because that's another one where people set these very ambiguous, I want to work. And, it, you know, we talked about wanting to do this episode for New Year's, and we did actually do kind of the New Year's episode where we talked about this before as well.
Yeah.
And, so a lot of times people set these ambiguous goals at New Year's, and we talk about why New Year's resolutions always fail, and you're just setting things that don't, there's no follow up with them. There's no way to track them. And this goes into the next letter M, measurable.
Yes.
And that's what we have to do. And I think it goes a lot of times hand in hand with specific, but it has to be measurable. And so a lot of times people will say, well, I want to work out more. Like, okay, well, great. You right now, you don't do anything. So if you walk for 5 minutes, you're working out more.
Okay.
Is that, and that might be where you want to be, but is that really what you mean when you say, I want to work out more?
Yes.
Or do you really mean, I want to go to a workout class, or I want to go and, you know, lift weights, or I want to swim, you know, certain, whatever. So that's where you have to break it down into this, this more specific. And then, like I said, getting into measurable.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then other things you might say, I want to, it's very specifically, like, instead of just eat more.
Yeah.
This is your forte, obviously. Yeah. But all of us, like, I myself will be like, I do not want to have any snacks after bedtime 6 out of 7 days this week.
Yeah.
And that took a lot to get to that even.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's a lot. So then if you're like, well, I don't want to eat between meals.
Mm-hmm.
Very specific. Or, I mean, you probably have some great ideas for this.
For me, it's always like, I want to eat more vegetables. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, for anybody, I think that should be a good goal. But, you know, it is. It's like, okay, we need to, because again, it goes with the eat better. Like, okay, what does that mean? I want to eat more vegetables.
Okay.
Okay. So how do we do that? I'm going to add in a serving of vegetables 3 times a week with my dinners.
Perfect.
That's a SMART goal.
Eat 3 meals a day.
For 3 weeks. I'm going to do that.
That's good.
You know?
It's very, very specific. I think one that our patients need to hear, we said this on almost every episode I've ever done, is that patients eat too little, not too much. You must eat 3 meals a day.
Yes.
I would say, and then don't go through there with trash bags and just like overhaul your life overnight. That's not going to be sustainable, but it's a very specific, again, small goals. Okay, this is great. All right. And then measurable, kind of goes hand in hand with being specific. Like scale, measured weight.
Yes, exactly. Distance when you work out. Great. Yep.
Or even like
these... saving money for your artwork.
Yes, there's it costs this much money.
It is this measurable. Yeah, you're going to be like filling in the thermometer, like, you know, they do on fundraisers.
Oh, God.
You need one of those.
Anybody want to go fund my art project?
No, they don't.
Oh, I know. Nobody feels bad for me. That's okay. I just need patience. That's all good. Now, achievable. Achievable is, again, if you're... I think, you know, we talk about this a lot. Ideal body weight is garbage.
Yes.
It's not achievable. I think for anybody, I don't know who came up with this ideal body weight.
Oh, yeah. The Hamway did.
Oh, well, 5 pounds for every inch is insane.
Yeah. So the equation we're referring to is for women, it's a 5 feet tall is 100 pounds is the quote unquote ideal body weight. And then for every inch, you get an additional 5 pounds. So if I'm 5'7", my ideal body weight would be 135 pounds. I think I weighed that in about ninth grade, you know? So I was like 15.
Wow.
Maybe once since then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it is plus or minus 10%. So you get an additional 13 pounds on that up, you know, up and down. But, and then for men, it's 106 plus 6
The men is crazy. The men one is crazy.
It plus 6 pounds per every inch. It's something, it's a little bit more for men, but even, like I want to say for a 6 foot tall man, if I'm remembering correctly, just from doing this before, I think it's 172 pounds is the ideal weight for a 6 foot tall man.
How much? 172?
172, I want to say. That's
intense.
That's really pretty thin.
It's really thin. I feel like that maybe a society's thing on it, but I feel like that is bizarre. And we're not taking into account frames, muscle, all that stuff.
Right.
So Yeah, I mean, it has to be achievable. If you have severe hip and knee issues, maybe running isn't the best for you. And I do think a lot of us think about losing weight and exercising, and that equals running for some odd reason. And there's a million other ways to get active and move your body. Like, I haven't ran. I did a Father's Day 5K back when I was in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I did it every year. And after that 5K, I could not walk down the stairs.
Yeah.
Every year. Like, it wasn't bad to walk upstairs, but it hurt my knee so bad I couldn't walk down. And I'm
Yeah.
What are you doing? Yeah. And I would do it to I'm going to motivate my patients. I'm going to be there. I'm going to run it. And then I'll be at the finish line. They'll all hug. And it's going to be such an amazing thing. And then I was like, you're not running this anymore.
Yeah.
And it was like, anyway, so if it's something that's not achievable or safe or healthy, just don't do it.
Or again, looking at these just unrealistic things. And I think then it also too, looking at achievable, and we're going to talk about the T as a spoiler, is time frame, achievable within that time frame. So if you come to me and say, I want to lose 25 pounds in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to say no.
No, absolutely not.
No, it's not realistic. It's not achievable. It's not smart.
No.
So that's where you have to also be kind of looking at the parameters you're setting for yourself.
Very much so. It has to be relevant. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory and time bound, like you said.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, even from taking it back to a business standpoint, we have weekly meetings. Mm-hmm. I love those meetings. We just reincorporated those into our practice. Yes. And it's sort of all right, we have a to-do list and we talk about what's been going on. What are we working on? And basically we have to get things done. Otherwise people's surgeries are delayed or if it's a question for any of us clinically, we have to be very time sensitive. If something's going on, we need to identify it. We need to help you. If you're in pain, we need to fix that, evaluate that, all that kind of stuff. So I think again, you're going to prioritize things differently in your life, but I think that you have to make this kind of, be realistic, but also kind of a priority to kind of get these goals achieved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And stick to it and really maybe even once you've established your SMART goals, put it out there. We talk a lot about this on, other people kind of knowing it and that sort of thing. So you want to make sure they're just relevant to your overarching weight loss objectives. You want meaningful progress. Mm-hmm. Set the time frame. You need a sense of urgency. I feel like that's what drives success in all of life.
Oh, yeah. It's a to-do list again. I think I always come back to that. I mean, I've got one here that's...
I know. I always add to her to-do list.
Not as checked off as I would hope. But, it is what it is.
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there as well. And our website and all those things.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a lot of SMART goals for you, Hannah.
Always.
I'm always, always, always working on all of that kind of stuff. So, all right. So, let's talk about tracking your progress and how you kind of do that. What's your favorite app to track things on?
For patients?
Yes.
Veritastic.
Really?
I like it because, MyFitnessPal is another one, obviously, that's kind of more mainstream. It will yell at you if your calorie intake is too low because it's, which fair for the general population, we have people on very low calorie diets and MyFitnessPal kind of has to be cautious with that. So, I think Veritastic is great. And it has things like vitamin reminders and water reminders and tells you, it's got a lot of
that. I love that. Yeah. I think that one's great. MyFitnessPal, I like it for its library of,
I think it's more probably comprehensive just because it's more mainstream.
Yeah, exactly. So anybody can use that. But like you said, you can always journal, keep a fitness tracker. Mm-hmm. These watches, these smart watches are so great. They track your movement. Some of them even do more features. You can add apps onto them. So all that kind of stuff is really, really good.
We're tracking now with the baby, how often she's eating, and I'm tracking how often I'm pumping, and that's we have a notebook on the counter. That is our high-tech solution for this.
There you go. Use notes on your phone and share them like we talked about. All of that's very, very good. All right. So let's say you have achieved your first goal of getting under 300 pounds. You haven't seen that since, you were 18 years old. It's just wow, like, this is the first time it's just, like, meant something major to see that sort of thing. All right, so what would you say are some good things that you can do to start to celebrate them?
Yeah. I think, I mean, it's going to depend on, obviously, the person, on what they want to do. And like we talked about, trying to not do the food celebration. Maybe it is going out and buying that next size down of piece of clothes. We know a lot of people don't treat themselves to clothes throughout this process because you're losing weight so rapidly and you don't want to spend the money, which I totally understand. And I appreciate, you know, I think it's fair. Like, you're just like, I'm going to hold on as long as I can to this top until it literally falls off. Or I know I've had a patient who told me her shorts fell off in the parking lot of Target.
What?
I was like, well, let's going into Target. Just
get in there, hold them up.
Yeah, convenient spot to lose your pants, but you know, it's like you kind of go as long as you can. But maybe it is that one special piece. And even if you know you're only going to wear it once or twice because you're going to lose the weight, like, treat yourself to that. You know, if it is joining a gym, that might be the thing. Maybe you just have been too self-conscious up till this point, but you're like, you know what, when I get to that under 300 pounds, that's when I'm going to go in and celebrate that loss by doing this next thing that's going to help me in the long run too. So maybe you go and join the gym, or, you know, maybe you meet a friend for a walk or do something. Yeah.
I love, I mean, the clothing one, I do Rent the Runway subscription.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Hannah, I have not canceled
it. I know
yet.
You haven't. I have a feeling you wouldn't.
I didn't do it.
Do you like it?
Well,
or do
I don't
use it.
When I use it and then like, I'm like, so the way this works is it's like $100 a month.
Yeah.
And you get five things.
Right.
And you can get five outfits. And as you're coming down on weights, I mean, they have a huge range of sizes. And you just tell them, like, you know, I'm tall and I have, you know, this build.
Yeah.
However, you know, as you go down, you pick what size you want, but it can kind of help you a little bit. There's things, and they divide it by category.
There's other subscriptions too.
Oh, yeah, like there's Stitch Fix.
Stitch Fix is different, but there's like Newly, I think. Just Google clothing rental subscriptions and you'll find ones.
Yeah, I think that is just a great thing. We talked about, you know, the gym or a class or a trainer or, you know, that's a great way to treat. Here's one we don't talk about a lot, just like self-care, okay? And I have, you know, a lot of what we're seeing is about solitude. We talked about that, being still, being alone, you know, all of those kind of things. There's something in this whole thought of stillness is the key. I have a quote here from a book, from the book, Stillness is the Key. And there's this line here, people don't have enough silence in their lives because they don't have enough solitude. And they don't get enough solitude because they don't seek out or cultivate silence. It's a vicious cycle that prevents stillness and reflection and then stymies good ideas, which are almost always hatched in solitude. Good decisions are not made by those who are running on empty. The world is like muddy water. To see through it, we have to let things settle and we can't be disturbed by initial appearances. And if we are patient and still, the truth will be revealed to us. One more, the way you feel when you awake early in the morning and your mind is fresh and yet unsoiled by the noise of the outside world, that's space worth protecting. So too is the zone you lock into when you're really working well. Don't let intrusions bounce you out of it. Put up barriers, put up proper things to direct what's urgent and unimportant to the right people. Lots there about solitude, silence. We talk a lot about showers.
Yes.
As you're by yourself.
That's where I do all my thinking.
I know. Whenever I had a baby, I just remember being in the shower, like, that's like, ugh.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be alone and I'm going to like just let the noise drown out. If you're crying, I can't hear you and I don't care right now. Like,
that's taken care of. Yeah.
Yeah. It is just like long drives, which I know that you need to get out of your house more.
I know.
And then just drive, just walk, just be quiet. Sometimes I'd like just tend into it. No noise, no radio, no talking on the phone.
You can't do that.
You have to do that. I know. But if your mind is like just thinking and creating and like, what do our patients want to know about? What will like, what's next? What's good? What do I want out of life?
Quiet. I just can't drive quiet. That's a danger to other people on the road.
Oh, you think you're endangering them by your thoughts? Are being alone with your thoughts is exhausting.
Yes.
So, well, ways that you can do it. What about, and I think this is one that, like, maybe when you're heavy, you didn't maybe feel comfortable doing. Mm-hmm. It's a massage. Uh-huh. Or like some kind of a spa day.
Yes. So funny story. I had a massage this past weekend. Oh, I did. Man,
you did.
And
I'm gonna get that.
It was great, but it takes me about half of the massage to stop thinking about the fact that I'm getting a massage. Of like, I have to relax my muscles. I like, I'm like, I'm going to try to help this lady along. You know, she's like pulling my arm this way and that way. And I'm like, oh, great. It's like, no, just, you have to relax. I have the hardest time with them. Plus, like, I'm ticklish in weird places. So like,
you're giggling in there.
I will like, yeah, or like just squirm. Like, it's not bad. I get ticklish.
Gosh, I was in Vegas and I got one like in my room. My friend, Jackie, she's crazy. And every time we go somewhere, we have to get a massage, which is fine. But sometimes like the spas are not open because we have no planning and we just show up at a place and it's like, okay, well, we don't have any appointments. So like, whatever. So she'll call like randos and they'll come to like our room. We've done that. Like we've gone to like strip malls and gone to those places that just say like literally massage.
Just that.
And I'm like, where are we? What are we doing?
Yeah.
But anyway, when she was in Vegas, this one woman, she kept like massaging my foot and like bringing it down in a way that I was like cramping, and I was like cramping my foot, and she kept making it cramp more. And like,
did it ever release?
No, I was like, just like move away from the feet so I can like do this weird like thing to try. And like, I was like dehydrated. I was like, having a time of my life in Vegas. I'll tell you that. But
anyway, Adele, right?
That's what I saw Adele. God, that was such an epic weekend. I think about it often.
You know.
Anyway, so yeah, you can go get a massage.
Yeah. You can go see Adele.
You can. Wow. I mean, that's actually on my list of things. Yeah. Like plan either a concert.
Mm-hmm.
I saw like some like little rinky dink has come in here to Sanford. And I don't know who it is, but somebody was like, anybody want to go? And I'm like, even if you don't know, I'm like, maybe it's like the genre of music. It doesn't have to be Adele and you're fighting a Ticketmaster, like clawing away.
Something to a show, or because, you know, it's sometimes too, I think when people are losing weight or have been very heavy, they might feel they don't fit at those places too. And it might be very uncomfortable. Like if you go to a theater or something, the seats might be uncomfortable. So now you can celebrate that. Oh yes. Now I can go and sit comfortably for 2 hours and watch, you know, if you love the ballet or you love the orchestra or you love, you know, a theater production or whatever that might be, or a concert where you're actually sitting down. You know, there's so many different things.
I love concerts. Do you?
I'm getting more into them, I will say. It used to be one that I didn't really care, I went and saw Beyonce this year.
Yes, we did.
I went and saw Florence and the Machine a couple years ago in Chicago, which was amazing. I saw Justin Timberlake in Chicago.
Okay.
If Florence tours again, I'm definitely going to go.
Interesting.
I love her. I'm obsessed with her. And then the Chicks, which we talked about the other day, that we're both obsessed with.
Who knew?
And they toured this past year, but just being pregnant, and they were in all these weird little towns.
We need to go. Chances
are. Next time. T-Pain is coming to St. Augustine in July.
T-Pain, okay.
Yes, he's doing his Mansion in Wisconsin tour, which is the best name ever.
Yes.
Very intrigued by that one.
Heck yeah. I mean, I love it. I love concerts. Yes. I love them. I'm going to see Olivia Rodrigo here in a few weeks.
I tried to win tickets for that on the radio the other day.
Oh, you did? With all your abundant free time?
I happened to be driving, and the contest was if they play 2 Olivia Rodrigo songs in a row, then you call in and you can win tickets. I love winning radio contests.
Ooh.
I actually saw Flo Rida back in college. I won a trip to Atlanta on a radio contest.
How was it?
It's awesome. My friend and I flew up we were freshmen in college.
Oh, that was like our first, epic.
It was like September when we started college. So we were very young little babies. Yeah. We saw Flo Rida and we went to the Atlanta Aquarium. It's great.
Oh my gosh, I love this.
But yeah, so I tried to win Olivia Rodrigo tickets because I was dropping Elena off at my parents. So like the drive, like I caught the end of one Olivia Rodrigo song and the beginning of the next one in the 2-minute drive from their house. But I just got the busy signal.
Would you have taken me?
Maybe. Actually, I don't know. I'd have to see who'd be interested. calendar, though. So I'm already going.
I'm already going.
It's yeah, fun. I'd have to see who, like, actually, I mean, she's...
You know who you should take? Olivia Rodrigo Wick, my daughter.
For sure. That's exactly who I would take.
Well, gosh, that's the whole thing. I mean, we could go on. We're getting off track here, guys. We need to talk about...
It's gonna be 8 hours long. Sorry, guys.
You need to pamper yourselves here. All right. So other things. So yeah, special outings. And even if it's like a hike, go out for a picnic. I think it's kind of cool. Like it's like a novel, like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like something that you're not, that you wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
I think that's like the idea. Like it should be like kind of novel or something, again, that you feel like you haven't been able to do, that something's been, you've been held back. Riding the roller coasters. How many times do we have people that is like the thing? And
yes,
again, that's like something you have to plan for. And it's not expensive to go and do that for most people, to go to the parks or whatever. But like, you know, that can be such a great moment that, you know, oh my gosh, I'm going to just like walk up, I'm going to wait in that line. I'm going to walk right up and just walk and sit down in that chair and no problem.
Absolutely. I think the best ride I've ever been on is Guardians of the Galaxy at Epcot. Oh. And that's the one that has to be your SMART goal all day, every day. Once you have, your milestone, your way of celebrating your SMART goal.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's so good. Another one that when we had the retreat, is there was a breakout session on scrapbooking.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about this artist. And I mean, it's essentially like, you know,
scrapbooking
your life into this one picture.
Mm-hmm.
But I think scrapbooking is so cool. I love like artsy, like going to Michael's and getting stuff. Are you into that?
Well, Michael's itself stresses me out. There's too much in that store.
I know.
And I'm like, not a super crafty person. So it's like all very overwhelming to me. Okay. I can go in and get a specific thing. I could probably do some scrapbooking for a little bit, but I think I would have like 8 abandoned, half done scrapbooks if I started doing it.
I have one from college.
Yeah.
I went to Penn State and my friend started it. So she bought this such a nice thick scrapbook with solid. These like solid pages of cardstock of like, I don't even know what, it's like a quarter inch thick.
Yeah.
It was like each page is, I don't know. It was something else. And she started it and it was so cool. And then I actually continued it.
Yeah.
Like I filled this thing and then it's like, oh God, like I had this like boyfriend at the time and it was like my love,
you know,
love of my life. And I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
How do I rip these pages
right, how do I
out?
Cross
like,
them
I can't
get
show
rid of
this,
him.
But yeah, it's like 1999.
I'm a photo album person, I think. Just slide the photos in.
I know.
An interesting thing too. I mean, its own way, it's that documentation of, because, you know, we talk about a lot of documenting and we're about to talk about social media and stuff like that. And so much of it is digital.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, maybe taking the time to print out the photos so that you have them.
And
that includes
print photos.
And that includes your befores. I think that, you know, that was part of the session you're talking about, was like honoring the before as well. It's not just that the quote after or the current. But, you know, like, but kind of seeing that transformation. Because that's what we do with our, you know, we were looking at my parents' photo albums the other day. We're trying to figure out who this baby looks like. So I was like, find baby pictures of me. And so we were looking through photos. And it's just like watching that person change and grow.
Oh, yes. So true. And we don't print pictures enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's kind of a thing that seems a little cheesy. Like when weight loss surgery programs, they have like 2 marketing campaigns. One is holding up the big pants and like looking at it. But there is something with holding up the pants when they're your pants and you're like, these were like my go-to.
Yeah.
And there was a time when even these didn't fit. I remember them being tight and cutting into my, you know, my side and my stomach. And then like, there's that. So it's kind of cliched. And then the other one is when they print a picture and then they hand you, you know, now this picture, this like before, like maybe it was like a pivotal picture that actually is the reason why you decided to get surgery. And then you look at it and you kind of get emotional, but there is something to that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So anyway,
do your scrapbook, do your journal.
Here's another one, that we see quite often is a tattoo.
Oh yeah.
We talk a lot about, you know, what would you get to commemorate it? The butterfly. Obviously, this is Body by Bariatrics, this symbol here, but it's because it's based on metamorphosis, transformation, change. Some people do get butterflies. Some people put their weight, they might put their weight in Roman numerals. Mm-hmm. They might.
Or their surgery date.
Or just, nothing to do with it, but
yeah, just something to sell to
this little like, thing. And you look at it and it's like, you know, never forget what you've gone through to just commit to yourself. Other things are even like accessories, like maybe jewelry. Mm-hmm. Maybe even, like I said, like you don't have a smartwatch, and then that will actually help you to achieve the smart goals and celebrate them.
Yeah,
and
sure.
We talk a lot about the watch bugging us though too. So make sure you set those settings appropriately so that they're not making you crazy.
I think my watch thinks I'm dead at this point.
Mine is too. It's like, hey, Betsy, you didn't get much movement yesterday.
Yeah, right. Try harder today. Like,
yeah, today's your day. Seize it. Is Screw it? You, silence.
Really, though?
No. Today is not my day. No. I got plans.
I got 3 hours of sleep. It's not my day.
It's not my day. I'm just surviving Apple Watch. Thanks.
Yeah, is there a postpartum setting? It's like, I actually, this is a total tangent, but if anyone from Apple is listening, this is my idea for you guys. Have it so you can set your watch to certain, like, time periods. Like, I would like I have a cold setting for my watch, because I'm going to be in bed all day. I don't need you reminding me to stand up every hour. I'm napping. I'm getting better. I need a pregnancy setting where it's like, yes, good nap. Good job. Or a postpartum setting where it's like, have you rested today? Make sure you're eating. Drink your water. Like, I don't need to be reminded to go for a 30-minute walk or, you know, a jog or, you know, standing every hour. Like, my stand hours occur overnight because I'm walking around with a baby.
That must
be
an interesting inverse flip from the rest of the world. Okay, other things on that note about, like, active and moving and doing things you actually like. Hobbies. Okay, so we talked about scrapbooking, that's one, but then there's other ones. People actually like to garden.
Yes. Horror on your face when you said garden.
Oh no. Like grandma always did. My mom's mom. I love my grandma like more than anybody. And she just like she would just come and visit us. We lived in the woods of West Virginia. We lived on 22 acres. That's how I grew up, which is like so starkly different than who I am. Did I ever show you my house growing up?
No, I'll have to look at it.
Okay, I'll show you it. But anyway, I lived in the woods.
Yeah.
There was nothing around. Like to get even to our house, you had to go down this like very long private drive. Yeah. And it was like just in there.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was really cool. But anyway, but I never ever once ventured into those woods. Don't like the thought
not
of like
a woods person.
No. Absolutely not. What lies within them, I don't know. You kind of live in the woods back here too, but
I pretend woods,
it is, and I like it. It's so I love your little bubble here. But with that, like my grandma would come and she would garden, and she just I think it's probably back to the whole solitude. Mm-hmm. Like she was just like relaxed and by herself and thinking and creating, and she would like weed this thing and it would like and then mulch it. It was like stunning. It was like a work of art.
It is. It's a labor of love for sure too.
Yeah.
To garden.
And then she would visit gardens and look at them and look at the flowers and like take notes and get ideas. Like she was like intense into this gardening.
I can't keep a basil plant alive, so I don't trust myself with a whole garden.
There's one plant that we can keep alive. It's a cactus. That's a brilliant housewarming gift. Like when you give me the orchid, it's like seriously.
Thanks.
Why?
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill this. Just throw it right in the trash right now. Just put it right there.
May as well. Yeah.
I mean seriously. Although I will
two
say
plants in my house.
You do? I'll have to go check them out.
They're in my kitchen.
Are they alive or dead?
They're alive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the orchid thing, I have to say one thing, is that Florida, because it's so sunny, actually, you put the ice cube in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have an orchid at your house.
And it actually rebloomed.
Yeah.
It rebloomed. It was like the miracle, like, wait, is this happening?
Yeah.
So we actually didn't, like, the last time someone came over was like years ago, and we've actually kept that orchid alive, so I should give myself some credit there.
Credit. Yeah.
But then we talk about calligraphy. Like, I love that. Dance class. Uh-huh. Some patients are, like, really good dancers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really kind of cool to, like, immerse yourself in that sort of thing. You know, singing, dancing, having fun.
Whatever you like to do. Yeah. That's what I always emphasize to people.
Seriously.
Do the things you enjoy. Especially, like when we talk about exercise. Like, so many people... We keep going back to this, but people do. It's like they think they have to run or they have to go to the gym.
Dance.
And I'm like, no, do whatever makes you happy because that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, seriously.
So celebrate with it too.
Like my son loves his PlayStation 5.
Yes.
I mean, just loves it. So how do we celebrate? We get him a game. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's like and a really easy gift. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, so we know the things, non-scale victories, just to kind of take it back to that. Mm-hmm. the celebration kind of becomes your life. Like, because yeah. you're like just celebrating these things that have nothing to do with the scale that just bring you a sense of pride and empowerment that you achieve them. And they're kind of like that intrinsic motivation to keep going. And it's kind of becomes all full circle because they're oftentimes your why for wanting to do it. And then you do it. And then that becomes you're celebrating because you did that. And it just is this like really cool.
Yeah.
Self-fulfilling prophecy in a way.
It just kind of circles around for you.
Absolutely. So we want to know, we want to hear from you. What is your way to celebrate? Mm-hmm. What are the things that you are celebrating?
Yes.
How do you set goals? How do you make sure you pause with those achievements? Mm-hmm. And how do we, you know, get creative so it doesn't have to revolve around intake? That's yeah. what we hopefully gave you some really valuable tips and tricks here.
Absolutely.
Just be thoughtful.
And you deserve it. I think that's the other side of things is, you know, maybe people think that they're not deserving of this or because they had surgery, the weight loss isn't as meaningful or impactful. And that's not accurate. Like you, and you're worthy. And I think a lot of times people struggle with that for a very long time of not feeling worthy of any of these things. And you absolutely are. And that's why we also say like, this doesn't have to be when you hit that final goal. Like this can be, you know what? I'm celebrating the fact that I had my first consultation.
Yeah.
Like that is in itself something to be celebrated. And it's worthy, you are worthy of that celebration of whatever that looks like for you and however big or small that is. Mm-hmm. Like take the time, even just 1 minute to do a little dance in your living room, yes. you know, like just do a happy dance and that's your celebration and that can be it. But take that minute to do that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's just going to, it's going to help to keep you motivated. It's going to help to keep this mm-hmm. long process feel much more attainable. And, you know, we're breaking it down into these smaller pieces and, you know, why not have joy along the way?
Exactly.
We don't want this to be a slog. We want this to be a joy.
Exactly. The joy is in the climb. It really, really is. And whenever I'm feeling like, all right, maybe I'll just like, I'm going to step away from the computer right now. And I am going to go and walk around and listen to a podcast that has nothing to do with work or commitments or life. I'm going to listen to something I want to listen to.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Love it.
All right. Well, celebrate your journeys, my friends. Get support. Get that community. We got you. We would love to take care of you. Yep. We would love to hear from you. Thank you for listening to our 2-part series from mental toughness to celebrating all that you've accomplished.
Yes. And find us as always on Instagram at Dr. X Dietitian, at Dr. Dovek, at HannahScott.rd. At Body by Bariatrics. We're on Facebook. Send us a text. We always love to hear from you.
All right. See you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.